Whether it be George Orwell's 1984 or Margaret Atwood's A Handmaid's Tale, the writers have helped us imagine it. That surveillance society where we have no privacy, where our moves are tracked and our actions controlled. When you find out more about radio frequency identification or RFIDs, it's not hard to think of those infamous Big Brother stories. RFIDs are little chips that can be implanted in products and people for tracking purposes, and their use is becoming more and more prevalent. With us to discuss RFIDs and their implications is Richard Rosenberg. He's the president of the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association, and he's also on the board of the BC Civil Liberties Association. Thanks for joining us on the show and talking to us about RFIDs.
Mm-hmm.
So what are RFIDs and how does the technology actually work?
Well, they've been around for quite a while, actually. They're a chip which has varying amounts of memory in it and a couple of strategies on operation. They either constantly emit a signal or, when pinged by a reader, they emit a signal. And they have been increasing their frequency of use in the world. A lot of pet owners have put RFID chips in their pets, so that if they go lost, one of the things that the vet can do is read the chip to see if the animal has a chip in it, and then that would connect and get in touch with the owner and to retrieve it. So, and they work quite well at that. Also, cattle have been have had RFID chips inserted in them so they can be traced. So here again, in case there's a problem with some animal, the RFID chip will have some information about where that cow or bull came from. So those are the sort of innocent ones. And within the commercial world, the major impetus to the use of RFID chips came from Walmart, which a couple of years ago required all its 100 top suppliers to send all their all the stuff with RFID chips in it. This has a very important use for inventory control, because the RFID chip, the ones that emit a signal, don't have to be read directly face on. If you're in the vicinity, pick up the signal and know what you've got. And so even though the 100 top suppliers didn't produce all their chips, a great number of them did, and so inventory control is now much more efficient and so on. So it's the individual items that have chips that have raised some issues. You go to a store and buy something, and you don't know that in that item there is an RFID chip. What should happen, it doesn't always happen, is that once you purchase it, the chip should be deactivated. Otherwise, the chip can continue to emit information about it, saying, you know, I'm a $5,000 very fancy suit. Someone driving by on your street within a few meters of your house could pick up that signal.
I'm just trying to figure out, so it's like almost like a little radio transmitter?
Like a little radio. So radio frequency ID, that's what RFID chip stands for. So it's emitting a signal in the radio frequency range.
So it's saying,
red.
It's saying like, I'm a brown shoe on aisle two, I'm a brown shoe on aisle two.
That way, for inventory control, it will say that, I'm a so-and-so. Now, the amount of information on these chips varies a great deal. The early versions just had a couple hundred bits, and now you can have several thousand bits on these chips, so they can have a fair amount of information.
So that's some of the advancements in technology.
Exactly.
Is probably in terms of the size.
Right, the size is very small, of course.
Right, so you're talking like 1 inch or?
Oh, even smaller, in fact, grain of rice size.
Okay, so you can get a radio transmitter the size of a grain of rice.
Grain of rice, yeah.
So that could go anywhere, really.
In fact, it does, and so the Americans have been installing RFID chips in their new passports. And
ooh.
So the information about you is now in this chip and can be read by a reader. In the first version of these, interestingly enough, they didn't encrypt the information. So if you had an RFID reader, you could read passports while people were walking by your store or walking by you on some street and read information about them to know who they are.
So there's the little transmitter, so that can be the size of a grain of rice, and
yep.
Then you need some kind of, say, like your radio or something to pick up the
transmission. Well, just simply an RFID reader.
And then some of them are connected to databases somehow.
That's right, because once the information is taken off it, I think the ones in use in passports are connected to databases. So once the information is read from the chip, it can be connected to a database with more information, because not all the information has to be on the chip.
So maybe you're... Okay, so that has some basic information on that passport,
yeah.
And then it links to, you know, your ID number in a database or something.
Right, yeah.
And then says... ding all this information, and then it could all probably also store information as to, like, when you cross the border or
it
something?
It could. It could also, yeah, it could add information. But these are would be the more recent uses. Most of the time, they were passive devices that just had this information which you could read either by pinging the chip or the chip would emit it at a constant rate. So you would have it. So there clearly the technology keeps improving. So it's possible to write information either on the chip or through the chip to a database connected to that user.
So then you can then start changing the information in the chip. It's no longer just I'm a brown shoe, but someone could
certainly change it for the size. I mean, when you have these chips with several thousand bits, they will have some information already built in, but there is room for putting more information in. And so, for example, there's a use of the chip in seniors, in Alzheimer's especially, where a whole bunch of the medical information can be put on the chip, and if someone disappears or gets lost, then when that person's found, the chip can be read and all the relevant information about that person could be found. And if the person's under constant medical treatment, then new information would be added to the chip to more fully describe the condition.
So can they actually process information, kind of like a computer? Or
they don't do much. They basically just store it so it can be read, and you can add information to it, so that information just takes up more of the memory, and then you can read the information from the chip. Anything else you want to do with it will come from a computer, just as other memory or temporary or external memory chips have information. It's only when they get into a computer that you can process it and do stuff with it.
So you've mentioned a couple of ways that it's being increasingly used. One is tracking products, say, yes, in a warehouse, and this has been...
That was the big impetus over the last couple of years.
It's been done by Walmart, who is obsessed with efficiency. Yes.
Right.
And also in animals.
Of pets and so on. And I say now it's starting to be used on people. Now, there are some people who want to have an RFID chip put in them, or some people want to have it put in their parents who they're concerned about getting lost. There are people, in fact, for a while they wanted to put it in their children, so in case they were kidnapped, the theory went, you'd be able to trace their location by trying to locate the chip through reading it from, if you had some idea where they might be, you might go nearby and see if you could read the chip. But that seems to be not very reasonable approach, because it's clear if you're going to kidnap a child and you're aware of what's going on in the world, you're not going to let that chip function. So if the chip is inserted in some child, it's going to be taken out.
It does seem kind of like a strange way to deal with community safety issues.
I think so. But, it's a technology. We're sort of living in an age where if a technology exists to do something, there are lots of uses would suddenly emerge. People say, we should do it. And then some of them have some reasonable approaches. There are a number of social clubs, resorts and so on, around the world, Mexico, Spain, maybe some other places, that give an option to their customers to have a chip installed in them when they come to the resort, which permits much easier access to the facility. So you go out on the beach, you don't have to carry wallet with you or identification. The chip is already in your arm. You order drinks, you order cabana or whatever. The chip is read, and the information is assigned to your bill. When you leave, I suppose, you could have the chip taken out, or it could be made inactive. It's installed, I don't use the word installed, which makes it sound like it's not a biological process, but it's inserted just under the skin, so it's not a major operation.
And you were talking a little bit about how it's being used in American passports.
Yes.
How has that been working? What are the impacts of putting it into passports?
Well, I think the concern in the early stages was, as I mentioned, is that for some unknown reason, the information on the chip was called plain text. I mean, if you could read it, you could just read it as ordinary text. And there was a lot of protests saying that just opens it up to the whole criminal world to read your, the terrorist and criminal world. You want the information in your chip to be encrypted so that only readers which have the proper decryption program at borders can read the chip, and that's been done. So now the newer version of the passport. So how well it's working is not something I'm familiar with, because it's not publicized. I mean, what they would, the concern was which got advertised, I think, was this plain text. Really concerned. You're walking around in some foreign city, someone who has a reader can be finding out all kinds of things about you. Now that it's encrypted, it's more difficult. As we know, encryption can be broken, but it takes some time, so you have some safety factor. I presume that the American border officials are happy with this because it gives them a more secure, it's much harder to forge, I would say. Now, you can create a passport with a chip in it, right? I mean, that's nothing that criminals can't do with technological advice, but they may have some difficulty in getting all the special, you know, things that are in the chip for legitimate use. But all these technologies, you know, just because it's on a chip doesn't mean it can't be broken into, things can't be figured out ultimately the way they can be in real computer systems.
Yeah, and encryption is never 100% secure.
Not 100%. What you hope is that if you use a large enough key, it will take some time to break. So you'll have some safety factor.
And so how far can these different chips emit their radio?
Some can be read from several meters, 20, 30, 40 meters. That's what I mentioned earlier at the beginning about how someone cruising down your street with a reader could determine what the shape of your house, what things you purchased recently in your house, from clothes to television sets to computers and so on. So they can be read from a fair distance. What you hope is that you expect this, that when you buy an item with a chip in it, it should be deactivated. I mean, there's no reason for the chip to be functioning once the item's taken out of the store. But then we know that there are oversights and things don't happen the way they're supposed to. So you may have a whole bunch of items which are emitting signals saying, I'm a new refrigerator, here's my features, and so on. But we haven't heard much in that line. So I think there is some responsibility in making sure the chips are non-functioning when they leave environments for those purposes.
But you won't actually be able to know that unless...
No, you won't know that. Exactly right. You won't know that.
So you have to put your trust in...
Well, you have
whomever.
To, yes. That's unusual is what happens. You have to, they don't want to put their trust in anything, but you have to, as a consumer, as someone says, I have to put your trust in the fact that the technology will be used in a responsible way. And in this case, responsible way is that any chips which emit signals on items purchased should be turned off. How would you know that it was, well, given the size of this chip, awfully hard to discover on your own where that chip might be. It could be in a button, it could be, you know, in a hem of a dress. Be awfully hard to discover.
So, say I go shopping somewhere and buy something. What are the chances? Like, what percentage of items right now that you buy are using RFID?
I think it's a relatively small percentage right now because they come out of their first use, which is inventory control, and that's still a market which is growing. So I would say a rather small percentage right now. It would be higher in some of the major. I mean, in Walmart, it would be somewhat higher. Because they've been in the game longer, and they've been putting pressure on their suppliers to do this. For smaller merchandisers, they probably are not using RFID technology yet. But if you start doing a search on this, you'll discover that the publicity about RFID and the number of applications is just growing very, very fast, and it's a technology which is booming.
I think it's the cost right now that's also prohibitive.
Yeah, the cost is, the cost of computer technology keeps going down. In fact, may not see the term RFID. You may see more recently the term smart card.
Oh, so that's the same thing.
Same thing, except the smart cards have more advanced RFID chips in them. There are more memories, so there's more information in there, and there's more stuff you can find out about whatever items they're associated with.
Are those the things they're putting in my new Visa card?
Yes. They're exactly right, and they're putting them in. They will put them in new driver's licenses, and they will put them in the new Canadian passports, and on and on and on.
Wow. And
yep.
So you don't really have a choice about this.
What
are the laws around this at the
moment?
They're
not specifically addressed because the technology is rather new, and the privacy laws in Canada have been around a few years, so there is no specific law addressing them other than that their use is captured by the general use about technology with respect to personal information. I think this is an area, though, which has to be studied very carefully because the widespread use of these chips is really growing, and we want to really know, you know, what their impact is going to be on our lives. And that's the inventiveness of the marketplace is extraordinary, and these chips provide opportunity to do lots of stuff, to track your purchases, to track all kinds of things that we hadn't thought about.
And it sounds like the cheaper they get, perhaps the more widespread they'll become.
That's typical as well, yeah. Memory, as we know, is dirt cheap, and it just gets cheaper, so you can put more stuff in there and have more memory in these chips and have more, a variety. Why not have, someone might suggest, why not have everyone's medical record, not just Alzheimer's, but everyone's medical record on these chips? So that when you go in your doctor's office, every appointment you go generates new information for this chip, and it can all be read and made sure that you're the person who is coming to see the doctor is represented by the information on the chip. You don't lose it. If you're in an accident or something happens, the chip can be read, and the drugs you're taking can be determined, and on and on and on.
So why not?
Well, why not indeed, except that unless the security is of a certain level, information about you is accessible at places and by people who you have no idea about. So it should all mean the demand for encryption is really crucial here, but the question will be, will all information that's put on chips that may be part of your regular baggage, will all that be encrypted so that it'll be very difficult to decrypt?
So there's the issue of privacy, I guess.
Yeah.
You're saying in terms of encryption, I mean, even if you put all your faith in encryption, I guess there's two issues. There's the issue of, having a card or something where you have these smart cards and it's RFID'd. But this whole thing around putting RFIDs into humans, and you're talking about they're justifying this through medical losing.
That's one of the arguments why it would be a useful thing to have. And a number of companies are starting to do it for requiring their employees to have RFID chips put in them so that you get rid of the, cards hanging around people's necks or pinned to their shirts and so on, which get lost or broken and so on. The RFID chip inside the employee means that the employee can just go into different places and doors will open and everything will be available at the level of security that employee has, and will never have to think a minute about flashing a card or checking a card reader somewhere. It'll all be done essentially automatically, and there's some attractiveness of this approach to lots of employers. I know there are a number of states in the U.S. that have passed legislation. I think California is one, which says that an employer cannot compel an employee to have a RFID chip put in their body.
Well, that was my other point, was about choice.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's one thing to choose to put your medical records onto that or choose to have it in your passport, but what happens when you don't have a choice?
Yeah. Well, I think a passport is no choice. They're not going to give you a choice. You want a passport? Here's the rules of the game. Will it happen that some doctors and some hospitals and some medical systems will say, well, for our system, you have to have this chip installed or we can't have you in our plan or in our office? I don't know whether that will happen. Employers, if they're not allowed to compel you to have a chip, may make it so attractive to have one for a variety of other uses. You may feel, if I don't put the chip in me, I may lose out on other things, depending on how the law is written. If it says you can't force someone, but you could say, well, if you don't have the chip, then you're not going to be able to work in certain parts of the building because we can't guarantee your security, or who knows.
So it sounds like a lot of this is around convenience and security.
Well, it's not an untypical thing with computers and computer uses, embedded systems. It's convenient. It's easy to use. It's better for you. There's this term that I use, a number of other people use, called the technological imperative, which is sort of, if technology exists to do something, you can be sure that the drive to use it in those ways will be pervasive.
Well, it's also the drive for corporations who are pushing their technology
for
profit.
Sure.
Yes.
The ones who make it obviously want to sell it because there's a big market out there, more and more uses of it. And we know the number of microprocessors which exist out there is many times the population because they're in everything, right? And RFID has become the latest way of the argument being that it is convenient. It minimizes loss and mistakes, and you don't have to worry about things. And there you have this chip with all this information for a variety of uses. And I wonder how many chips they could put in your arm and it wouldn't interfere with each other.
Well, yeah, also you know, more and more obsessed with security and the security culture. So we're coming at all our problems from that sort of
perspective. Well, that's absolutely right. And we find a lot of things are being done under the argument that we need it for security, or security is the reason we have to do it, and you have to give up a certain amount of your personal freedom, personal liberty to ensure that you're safe. And these are hard to restrict, and even even people who seem to have a firm commitment to civil liberties and personal rights are persuaded in part by this, saying we live in difficult times, and therefore if we can increase the level of security by these chips, they're small, grain of rice, you hardly notice it.
So to me, though, it seems like a slippery slope. I mean,
absolutely,
there's the privacy issue, which is huge, but then there's also the ability to be, which I guess is a privacy issue, but the whole ability to be tracked
and monitored. We assume that we maintain privacy within our home. That was sort of the basic rule. The king in his home and the lowly peasant all should have the same degree of privacy in their home. We also have this feeling when we go out in public spaces, we should be relatively free. We shouldn't be tracked, monitored, examined. And that's, of course, this whole world of closed-circuit television, which is a nice cousin of chips, where you have these cameras everywhere tracking people. The argument being that, people committing crimes will be tracked, and we'll discover them, and we'll get them. And the fact that you're being tracked in a space where you've done nothing wrong is a minor concern compared to the security issue.
So where is it going from here, do you think? What's coming around the bend?
Well, I'm a little concerned. I mean, a little to start with, and a lot concerned about, is that, for example, there have been attempts in the States to have children going to school have a chip installed so that they could be monitored and make sure that they're who they say they are and that they're in the school. We know where they are and they can be located. It was one of the states which tried this was it was turned down, saying this was a violation. But I think what's happening, as long as this, as long as the war on terror, so-called war on terrorism, continues in the States and other countries, there's going to be this inevitable pressure to carry good identification, which can't be messed around with, which is more secure, which is convenient, which doesn't minimizes loss, minimizes possibility of change, unwarranted change, and that will just be part of the general assault on privacy, which is going on now. In Britain, just about a year ago, one of the ministers in the government issued a statement, which was carried by a lot of papers, saying Britain is now becoming the leading surveillance society in the world. This is the home of 1984. And that's, I think, what we have to look forward to.
Well, they're obsessed with closed-circuit television.
Absolutely.
It's
they're
out of control.
The leading country in the world in terms of the numbers of 4 million, something like 4 million closed-circuit televisions in Britain. I think it's just creating a society in which we have considerably limited individual privacy, and we'll continue to be told that that's the price we pay to live in a safe society.
Well, we're just getting started on these issues, but it's definitely something to start thinking about and taking more note of. So thanks for introducing us to this and telling us a little bit more about what's going on with this technology.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been speaking with Richard Rosenberg. He's with the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association. You can find more information about that association and about your privacy rights in BC on their website. It's fipa.bc.ca. That's fipa.bc.ca. If you're looking for more information about RFIDs, there's a couple of websites you can check out. One is www.spychips.com, and another is epic, epic.org.